This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Do you know that that roll of belly fat that you may be carrying around really isn't just being overweight, that there's actually a cause to it, and that cause could be high levels of cortisol as a result of everyday stress? Did you know that there's a connection between cortisol, obesity, diabetes, hypertension, osteoporosis, arthritis, and depression? Last question. Did you know that it also can produce insomnia, headaches, and contribute to autoimmune disorders such as chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia? Very interesting topic, isn't it? Thank you for joining me today. I'm your host, medical intuitive Carol Reitberger, and the topic of today's show is cortisol, and I'm going to be talking about how it can actually ruin your health. I chose this topic really for a couple of reasons. One is this energy that we're all dealing with right now seems to be putting a lot of tension on the physical body, and kind of between that physical and spiritual nature, which is a form of stress in itself. And then also I've been noticing a lot in the readings that I've been doing a tremendous amount of conversation around stress, and I've been dealing with actually a lot of stress-related health problems. So I thought, well, what a better time for us to bring this up with the combination of energy, the combination of the finances of where everything is, and to be able to step back and look at what are the real long-term effects of the stress that we're really looking at. I've also found that, honestly, a lot of the things that I found working with children that also is tied to obesity is tied to the amount of stress. If you look at the fact that there's very little time for play, that there's a lot of demand, very, very busy in this in their life, and they too can be suffering from stress. We don't always think about them in that level, but also that belly fat. And belly fat is one of the primary indicators that we're dealing with stress. So I'm going to be talking more about cortisol. I'm going to be sharing some ideas of how you can manage it, different foods that you can eat to be able to help with cortisol, and actually more vitamins than anything else. And then in addition to that, I'm going to be taking your calls and sharing my medical intuitive skills with you. So if you have a question for me about your health, you can call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good in the U.S. and then Canadian and international callers. Dial your international calling code if appropriate, and then 877-230-3062. One of the things I wanted to just kind of jump in, because it's tied into this stress, is that one of the things that the energy that we're dealing with right now is really requiring. It's not demanding, well, it is, but really requiring us to really go in and start getting clarity around who we are and what we want our life to be, and clarity around those goals and objectives and the lifestyle and the quality of life that we want to live. And when we get into that focus of that clarity, many times we forget about the needs of the physical body and really focus on trying to identify a problem and identifying the problems associated with the problem and identifying the solutions that can not only solve all the problems, but that one problem that triggered this whole stress reaction. So the energy right now is very, very stressful on the body. It's creating a lot of dynamic tension between the upper chakras and the lower chakras. It's creating a lot of what I call turmoil energy or energetic congestion, or almost creating like this cavern, the split between our physical and spiritual nature. And that happens to be in the third chakra, and that third chakra is tied to the kidneys and the adrenals. And cortisol is actually an adrenal hormone that is literally produced when we get into that stress situation. The issue with cortisol is it's kind of like a chicken and an egg question, which came first. The more stressed we are, then the more cortisol that's released, the more elevated the cortisol levels become. And then conversely, the more the higher the levels become of cortisol, then the more stressed the body is in its reaction to what is going on in our inner and outer world. So we can have outer stress creating that inner cortisol stress in the physical body, cortisol stress creating stress in the body that could change our behavior with the stress and our outer experiences. So you can see why it is a chicken and an egg. But again, the best thing to do is to just recognize that when you do get stressed, you're going to be releasing cortisol. And the longer you stay in that stress process, then the longer you're going to continue to produce and excrete that cortisol, and then the more likely it's going to be build up in the body. And the reason for that is the body has a difficult time being able to dissipate the cortisol that we build up over the period of time. Now, stress itself is defined as what you feel when life demands exceed your ability to meet those demands. Very straightforward. Yet the interesting thing about stress is it's not necessarily a one-size-fits-all as we think of, especially when we're dealing with a type A kind of categorization of a personality. In my world of personality, every single one of the four colors, red, orange, yellow, green, tend to have a high level of cortisol when they stay in prolonged stress, because in reality, every one of the personality colors tend to be a type A personality around stress, but maybe the triggers are different, the emotional attachments to the stress are different, the way that the body handles, of course, the stress is different, the neurology associated with personality is also different, and then the other thing is how quickly has the person learned to be able to diminish the effects of stress? And again, that even boils down to personality. So it isn't a one-size-fits-all because of, again, all of these different factors. The irony of stress is that on one hand, it's really an important hormone because its purpose is to restore energy following a stressed situation because it stimulates the breakdown of glycogen and glucose in the liver. It promotes the release of amino acids in the muscles, which are directly impacted, directly and indirectly impacted when the muscles experience stress. The muscles tend to get tight. They tend to use up any of the resources they have, any kind of energy. And then what cortisol does is it really comes in and it helps support those muscles by being able to give it the energy that it needs. Also the organs, glands, the cells, the energy it needs. So it really does have a really a beneficial aspect of it. And one of the benefits of stress, believe it or not, saying it that way, is stress really heightens the attention of the mind. It prepares the body for moving into action. So that's the positive part of stress. But on the other hand, when the high levels of stress are so high that the level of cortisol is so high, the physical body has a difficult time being able to really break that cortisol level down and to be able to diminish it or dissipate it through breathing through the pores of the skin. That's one of the reasons that when we get really stressed, we start to sweat. The body is basically going into that mode of saying, okay, well, I've got high levels of adrenaline, corticosteroid, and cortisol, and I need to basically just get it out of the body so it doesn't build up. And that's what affects us. That's what's really happening when we're in that stress situation. But what does occur with the high levels of cortisol, and I'm not talking about those short bursts. I'm literally talking about those prolonged aspects of cortisol. I'm talking about that chronic stress that we may find ourselves in, that stress of, you know, looking at the task of the next day before we go to bed. That creates stress that is actually active all night long. Or what we do is we go into the office or so forth, and then all of a sudden it seems like everything breaks loose and now we're trying to juggle too many tasks. And remember that the definition is when you feel that life's demands are actually exceeding your ability to meet those demands, and that can be triggered over and over and over, and that repetitive cycle is what really builds up the levels of cortisol in the physical body. When this is the case of that prolonged stress, now cortisol really starts to wreak havoc with the body. It impacts the liver's ability to function properly. It increases cravings and appetite. It also causes muscle mass to be lost, which then we start getting that unhealthy fat that seems to form in the body, and especially that unhealthy fat that forms in the belly. Again, if you want to know how stressed you are, look at your belly fat. And if you want to know whether your belly fat is tied to cortisol, then look at your belly fat, because there is no way to be able to separate the type of fat that the body produces and stores in that particular area. So when we go in and we get that muscle loss really keeps that body vulnerable to going into that preservation, that preventative cycle, to the point where then it starts to store things. The body adapts very quickly from the standpoint that it really feels like it needs to be able to store itself, to prepare itself, to have the energy it needs. So it stores that energy in the form of glucose. So then that glucose is actually stored in fat cells. So if we're under prolonged stress, muscle mass decreases, fat cells become larger, they store water. That can cause a lot of the water retention. They also store corticosteroids and cortisol, and then they also store glucose. So what occurs if you're under prolonged stress, and repetitive prolonged stress in particular, your body adapts very quickly, and as a result, we end up getting this increased body fat mass, and specifically, again, like a broken record, but I keep saying this, is that that's really the measurement of your level of stress, is by looking at that belly fat and then seeing that as really a storage for the hormones associated with stress, but specifically cortisol. And then again, when the levels of cortisol become too high, then what occurs is that then we start getting the insomnia, we have a difficult time falling asleep, we have a difficult time, more importantly, staying asleep. When we wake up, that mind starts to spin. And then what also occurs is that our sleep cycles change in such a way that while the very thing that we need more of is sleep, the very thing that ends up is less sleep. And that also is directly tied to elevated levels of cortisol. Some of the conditions that are associated with the elevated levels of cortisol is the increased appetite and food cravings. And food cravings, what I'm really talking about is I'm really talking about the food cravings that are associated with simple carbohydrates, i.e. specifically sugar. When we get to a place where we really do need to have that energy to help us, our body, and help us psychologically as well, cope with the stress that we're experiencing. The body sends out the message the way it's designed, I need energy. And as a result, what you do is it creates and triggers cravings. Those cravings are simple carbohydrates, things that will metabolize quickly. And then also what they will do is it sends out those sugar cravings. And you may even find that if you really started following your energy, you started finding your highs and lows, because we all have them, and we actually have multiple highs and lows energetically and physically in the physiology of the body, that you may find that you have a low energetically or a low that's tied to patterns of stress, where you'll find yourself really, really craving those quick fixes, the candy bars, maybe adding extra sugar into the coffee, whatever it may be. Another one of the conditions is that increased body fat that I've been talking about. Now I'm going to move forward with the body fat, because high levels of cortisol affect us in three different areas. First and foremost, affects us in the belly area itself. In the female body, what it does is it also impacts the hips. So what we get is we get a lot of additional fat, unhealthy fat, in the thighs and in the hip area. And then in the female body, it tends to move up into the breast area. And now what we have is we have larger breasts due to the mass of body fat. We also find that we carry fat basically from the neck to the knees, and that can be very much tied to cortisol. And remember that cortisol is a hormone associated with the adrenals associated with stress. And for females, under chronic prolonged stress, we also increase the secretion of a corticosteroid that clones itself. It's a faux estrogen that then causes the body to become more emotionally reactive, but it changes the entire chemistry dynamics, allowing cortisol levels to increase even more. Now, for the male body, we get it in the belly fat. And interestingly enough, the male body doesn't tend to put it in the bottom or put it in the thighs, but it does tend to put that weight, that fat, in the chest area. Now we get that big barrel chest that we often hear people talk about, and it's not from working out. And what we do is we find in the male body that the fat itself tends to store in the belly, get those love handles, but then also gets into the chest area. We can find it around the shoulders, not necessarily in the arms, but in the shoulders. And then we can also find the cortisol fat associated with stress also in the back of a male. And what he'll start to do is start to notice some of those kind of rolls that get in the back, and all of those things are triggered by cortisol. The other thing is that the elevated levels of prolonged stress, or elevated levels of cortisol associated with prolonged stress, also decreases bone density. This is one of the reasons that we're finding in the research there is a direct connection between cortisol and osteoporosis. Also, there's increased anxiety, and we may not even be aware that we've got all these dynamics going on and that this anxiety is going, because we tend to mentally try to stay focused on something so that anxiety can get masked in our behavior. But the best way to know in that increased anxiety around the element of cortisol is that we start to become irritated. It's like the little things that usually would just kind of roll off of our backs tend to trigger a strong emotional response that can lead to anxiety, that can lead to nervousness, and that can alter our behavior. Severe mood swings, that can go anywhere from obsessive compulsive behavior. It can go anywhere from passive aggressive behavior. It can go anywhere from anger and irritability to depression. So you may find that if you've been under, again, prolonged stress, and that's something else, is be aware of how you feel. How do you feel when you get up in the morning? And one of the things that, you know, in the business world, it's kind of been known that what you do is the day before when you leave, before you leave the office or before you go to bed at night, you kind of get an idea of what you want to do or you have to do the next day. I'm going to actually poo-poo that one and say, you know, that's not the best thing. Give yourself a wind down time at the end of the day. Give yourself a good night's restful sleep. Don't be thinking about work. Don't get on your emails. Don't get up in the middle of the night and read your emails and so forth. And then what you'll find is that your body, in its natural ability to detox, will deal with the elevated levels of cortisol. You'll actually wake up fresher. Your mind will be more focused. And then once you get your day going, then you can get on email, and then you can get on looking at the task at hand. So again, it's very difficult when we have those lingering things hanging over us that we don't let those things carry over into our sleep. And all of those things, and the reason for bringing them up, is they're also part of the mood swing process. The other thing is the reduced libido. That, of course, is tied to hormones. Both male and female, remember that when we're stressed, we have a corticosteroid. It clones itself as estrogen in females and testosterone in males. So if we're under prolonged stress, there is a natural occurrence of the loss of libido. An impaired or weakened immune system, memory loss, the inability to concentrate, or then also to be able to focus. Those are some of the different things associated with high levels of cortisol. And what it can also do is it can actually impact short-term memory, and it can impact our ability to be able to retain information, and can create a short-term memory situation to the point where it can create almost a learning impairment, to the point where we get psychologically at uncomfortable with ourselves being able to learn something. Also, it's been tied in some of the other research that's coming out now. We're finding that high levels of cortisol are also increase the symptomology of PMS, and also it has a menopausal and a menses side effect as well, cramping, and then also postmenopause has a lot to do with the cortisol level, has a lot to do with the anxiety that women experience in that postmenopause state. So what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be sharing in a few moments a little bit more about cortisol, but I want to go ahead and take the call from Rose. Hi, Rose. How can I help you, sweetie?
Hi, Carol.
Hi, hon. How are you?
Hi. Hi. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Good.
Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I was wondering if I have any kind of food allergies or sensitivities to certain foods.
You do. And you know what? It feels like, honey, that the food sensitivities I've actually been able to pick up for probably about a year. But it seems like these allergies, kind of these reactions that you're getting, feel like they're fairly new. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, because again, there's things that you just instinctively, you're very, very aware of your body. There are sensitivities. One of the sensitivities that seems first and foremost coming up is you're developing a sensitivity to dairy. It's not quite an intolerance, but I would encourage you to look at maybe minimizing the amount of dairy. You might want to get on some probiotics that can help you with that. But that is the first thing that jumped up. The other thing is that are you having digestive issues, sweetie?
Off and on, yeah. Most of my life I have, yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's a correlation between sensitivities and the digestive issues and then your immune system reading what's going on. And it's like your immune system is saying, well, let's eat. Yesterday you could eat wheat, but today you can't do it. Or Or you can do gluten today, but oh my gosh, don't do gluten for a week now because I'm not sure what's going on. So we've got this immune system that tends to be overreacting due to these sensitivities. So let me deal with sensitivities first of all. And they're sensitivities and not intolerances. I want to be really clear about that. There's a sensitivity that is occurring with the dairy product, specifically cow's milk, I can say that. The other thing is nightshades. I'm not picking up tomatoes, but for some reason I'm picking up peppers. And I don't know if you're eating more peppers or you're eating even more squash, that kind of joined into it, but I'm getting some sensitivity there. And that, of course, is the summer. We have those things. So again, it's not an intolerance. Yeah, so I'm getting that right now we've got a sensitivity to peppers. And then I could throw in squash, but not all kinds of squash, which is very interesting. So if I went into the squash family and taking and visiting your body, you could do a crookneck yellow squash. Zucchini's probably off your list. You could do a patty pan, which is that green scallop squash. You could probably do something that's called an eight ball. But what you want to stay away from is you want to stay away from squash, that yellow zucchini squash. So again, see where I'm getting even the hit and miss there.
Yeah.
The other thing is that, so I've got the nightshades and I've got the milk. When I go to the gluten part of it, I get some sensitivity around wheat, but I don't around oats. So now let me kind of say, okay, what are we going to do with that? The thing that I can encourage you to do is why don't you first start and revisit what your diet's looking like with the change in the seasons right now with the fruits and vegetables that are available. Again, it's only nightshades that I was honestly picking up things, sweetie. So it might be that you want to look at how many, you know, you love peppers. How many peppers are you eating? Or maybe you're eating squash and things. But I didn't get it around tomatoes, which is unusual because nightshades, the first sensitivity usually of nightshades is tomatoes. So
yeah,
what you want to do.
Than anything, so
pardon?
I eat more tomatoes than any other nightshades, so.
And I'm not even getting a sensitivity hit around it. So I can understand your dilemma because here I am working with you and saying, oh my gosh, I keep wanting to think as medical intuitive, go deeper, see if I can find an intolerance. Cause if I can find an intolerance and say to her, don't eat this, then at least we have something to work with. And I really don't. So what I might suggest is look at what you are eating and eating on a daily basis. And look at then the quantities that you're eating. And then what you want to do is you want to add to your diet greens. The higher the chlorophyll, the better it is. You will want to add probably some kale, some spinach. I'm picking up maybe even some mustard greens or something. You want to get some greens because greens are very good at helping the body detoxify the way it needs to, and that seems like that can help you. You might want to look at maybe some spirulina, but again, you don't feel like you need that on a daily basis. You might want to look at wheatgrass, but you don't feel like you need that on a daily basis either. So the first thing is look at those different aspects of what you're doing, and then, as crazy it may sound, ask your body. If you just happen to notice that maybe you're eating tomatoes every night, and maybe you're eating tomatoes, 2-3 tomatoes on a daily basis, again, just kind of using a theory on this, using that, then maybe what you want to do, because you're not tomatoes, but it's nightshade family, is that maybe what we want to do is just cut down and maybe do one tomato a day, see if you see a difference with it.
Okay. And you said something about wheat?
Yes. Wheat is something that you're sensitive to right now, but I'm going to tell you, 3 weeks ago you weren't.
Okay.
So I understand. I understand the dilemma with it. And with wheat, do you eat wheat bread, wheat products? Well, wheat's in so many different things.
I'm Italian. I eat bread.
Oh.
I eat.
There you go. I can so relate to that. All right. So let's do something. Do you have a Trader Joe's next to you? I don't get paid by Trader Joe's of doing this, but do you have a Trader Joe's next to you?
Yeah.
Anywhere close?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, what I might encourage you to do is to go to some rice pasta. What I would encourage you to do is to see if there's any kind of gluten-free breads that they have. They tend to be very, very good about that. What you can also do is add some lime to your diet, whether it's lime juice, whether it's lime rind, whether it's squeezed lime. You want to do that because lime is a natural antihistamine, very, very helpful for the liver, very helpful for cleansing the body. That may be able to manage some of the sensitivities. Do you eat eggs?
I do.
Okay. Do you eat an egg every day?
No.
Okay.
Maybe if that.
Okay. For some reason, eggs entered into it, and it's like, well, I couldn't get a clear hit, but they'd entered into it, and I needed to share it with you. But the thing is that you need protein. Are you a meat eater?
Yes.
Okay. You do need the protein associated with meat. So okay. I would look at you.
I tried being vegan for a little while. So that's not a good idea.
No,
it's not. Okay.
Yeah, it's not a good idea. And I mean, all the vegans out there are going to go, what are you saying here, Carol? But the reality of it is you need the protein, the amino acid, and you need some of the vitamins that tend to be associated with being a meat eater. Very, very important. One of the things when I just touched the vitamins, and I talking about stress, all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh. Do you take a B complex, honey?
Am I complex?
No, I'm sorry. I know. Yeah, I know you are. I know you're complex. Oh, my God. That's my good morning laugh. I love you to pieces. Do you take B complex? Not B complex, but the vitamin B complex.
I have some here, and I've been taking them off and on, but not on a regular basis.
Yeah, you might want to consider getting a good quality B complex and then taking that on a regular basis. For some reason, I'm getting stressed both internally and externally, and it may be that what I'm picking up that's associated with stress is what's stressing your immune system. Your immune system feels like it's really hypervigilant now, like it's trying to really be very dutiful to be able to and helpful to be able to protect you about a lot of things that are going on both physically and psychologically. So, and the B complex can also help with the stress management that I'm picking up. And it's also very, very good for the cells and the restoration of the cells itself. Very good for digestive, good for cognitive processing, and then also good for managing stress. So for some reason,
I suffer from a lot of anxiety, and I was on antidepressants for anxiety for years, and my chiropractor helped me get off. So I've been completely off for a few months now, and I do feel more anxious than I did, and so that's probably what you're picking up on.
Yeah. So I have a question. Did your chiropractor have you start on a new supplement or something? I just got a hit on that.
Yes, it's a herb supplement. I have year-round allergies, sinus allergies.
Right.
And I've been taking this supplement for a few months now. I was on three different prescription allergy medications, and she got me off those and put me on the supplement.
Okay. So I've got a couple things. Is the sinus infection, sinus infection, as it really feels like, is actually part of the yeast overgrowth that happens in your digestion tract and specifically small intestines. So look at your diet and look at things that you can do to give the body the energy it needs, help it detox, and then stay away from things that can cause a yeast overgrowth. That's the first thing, because it goes systemic. I can taste it in your mouth when you said that. A little bit of a metallic taste that forms, and then I start getting this yeast buildup in the sinus area itself. The second thing is that if you are open to it, and I have to say it that way, I would probably stop the supplement for a week or 2 weeks and get off of it and see if things change.
Okay, so don't take anything for...
I would go back and revisit the diet, look at what you can do for promoting kind of a calming, good health aspect. Look at the foods that I talked about and sensitivities that you have, and then step back and change your diet and food combined differently. Do continue the meat process of it. And then if you're concerned about it, talk to the chiropractor and just ask him, would it be okay for you to stop if you need to stop this for at least a week or two? For some reason, when you said that, all of a sudden I thought, oh my gosh, she's getting an allergic reaction to one of the herbs that's probably being used in this that's been building up in her body. And now why? That's why we're getting this intermittent situation.
Okay.
So why don't you, you know, again, if you, because you feel like you like to kind of explore everything, so you might want to talk to him about that and see if that would be helpful, and just get off of it and see where you, kind of the allergic, the sensitivities that you have, where they go, see if the anxiety changes, gets worse or gets better, and then that can help you know whether this is the right supplement for you or do you need to do something else.
Okay. Do you have any suggestions for other supplements that could help with my allergies?
Boy, you know, sorry, I'm not. This isn't kind of my expertise in it, so I'm going in and I'm asking. The first thing that comes up is I don't know why milk thistle came up, and that's not really a supplement. Do you have a naturopath? Actually, your chiropractor is really good. Why don't you go back and talk to your chiropractor and just talk about some of the things, the anxiety, and see if that can help. I'm sorry, that's not really my area of expertise, and I'm just really honestly kind of going on the energetic messages your body's sending me, and I'm not getting clarity as far as what herbs you need other than I find that you need the B complex, specifically B12, sweetie.
Okay.
So that might be able to help, and see if we just need to tweak it and see. Actually, your chiropractor does muscle testing, doesn't he? Have you asked him?
No.
Why don't you ask him if he does muscle testing and ask him to test every one of the herbs that are in what you're taking. And there, my sense is your body's going to say that there's one of them that you're that's not giving you what you're looking for, and your body's building up an immunity to it, and it's creating kind of an allergic reaction. It's deeming it as a pathogen or an allergen. That's what I'm picking up.
Okay.
That might help.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks,
Rosa.
Thanks
so much, Carol.
You are so welcome. You have a wonderful day. What I'm going to do is I want to jump into a quick commercial break right now. I'm going to be right back and talk a little bit more about cortisol and some of the conditions associated with it, specifically the metabolic syndrome or syndrome X, and then give you some ideas on some things that you can do to help manage cortisol in your body. Stay tuned. I'll be right back.
Would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month, she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
We all have amazing talents and knowledge that should be shared with the world. Become a host on Contact Talk Radio and help spread your insight and wisdom. Help others grow as you grow your business and reach a level of connection far greater than you could reach on your own. Take the first step and learn more by visiting ContactTalkRadio.com or contact Cameron at 425-221-3646. Continue to spread the word about the importance of conscious living.
Now is your chance to be part of the show. Call 877-230-3062. Call in with your questions or thoughts and talk with the host and their guest. Again, that number is 877-230-3062.
Welcome back. If you're just joining me today, I'm talking about the stress hormone cortisol and how it can actually impact and even ruin your health. So what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be talking more about that. I want to talk a little bit about Syndrome X or metabolic syndrome because we're hearing more about that. We've actually been hearing the rumblings of that particular syndrome for a while, but it seems like right now we're finding it much more prevalent in the activity of the body and the way the body's being impacted by stress. So I'm going to be talking about that and then sharing some suggestions on how you can manage that cortisol and even go in to prevent those high levels of cortisol from happening. I'm also taking your calls. So if you have a call for me and you want to talk about cortisol, you want to talk about your health, you will have a question about this energy and kind of this clarity that we're getting right now, I invite you to call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good for U.S. callers, Canadian callers, and international callers as well. 877-230-3062. So let's go in and just kind of jump in and talk a little bit about one of the most common connections with high levels of cortisol is something called Syndrome X or metabolic syndrome. And this particular syndrome, the direct outcome or expression in the physical body of Syndrome X is obesity. The reason for this is because of the raised levels of cortisol actually affects the metabolism of the body. So a lot of times when people put on weight, we think that it may be tied to a low thyroid, which then can contribute to weight gain. But in many cases, what we're dealing with is we're dealing with high levels of cortisol and it affects the metabolism. And basically, because of it being tied to stress, it puts the body's in protection. And then what occurs is the metabolism of the body slows down in order to be able to maintain the energy that it has stored and is needed, stored in those fat cells, also needed as stress rears its head again. And what it does is it slows it down, and then that slowing down of the metabolism actually affects the body's ability to manage its usage of insulin. One of the key aspects of Syndrome X is insulin resistance. When there isn't enough insulin that's produced by the blood sugar regulation of the pancreas, it's compromised and it blocks the body's ability to be able to burn fat. The result is obesity. The people at higher risk for Syndrome X are typically those who are approaching middle age because there's natural changes occurring in the body. The level of responsibility if increases, that tends to be middle age as well. What that does is as the levels of responsibility increase, then also it increases the level of stress. We're actually tying this increase of responsibility to children. We're actually finding that children who tend to be with families that are losing their homes, we have a high number of kids that aren't being able to eat, that are having to live in cars. There's kind of an epidemic that's happening. One of the things in some of the studies that have been found is the kids take on the responsibility to protect their family, to be able to do more of what they need to. We're actually finding kids trying to go out and earn money and so forth, and this high level of responsibility also is increasing the level of stress in children, and then also could be contributing to some of the obesity issues that we're seeing that seems to be kind of an epidemic proportion right now. High levels of cortisol, obesity also lead to type 2 diabetes. And then the thing also with this syndrome X is there's less time to get the rest that's needed, and rest is one of the best things that we can do to be able to manage cortisol, manage stress in the physical body. Some of the early signs of cortisol syndrome X connection is fuzzy mental thinking, loss of interest in sex, clothes beginning to fit tighter due to gradual weight gain. A lot of times weight gain that's associated with a hypothyroidism situation is that the weight can come on very, very quickly in the case of the syndrome X and cortisol. It's a very gradual weight gain. And the most problematic also problem associated with high levels of cortisol, also associated and connected with syndrome X, is the difficulty of losing those extra pounds. And the reason for that is the body is still in a state of protection. We still have that those adrenals pumping the adrenaline, the corticosteroid, and the cortisol, even though we may not be consciously aware of it. And then we have the perfect storm for syndrome X to come in and to actually take over. The greatest risk, of course, with cortisol at all and elevated levels ultimately comes down to type 2 diabetes. Now, that really makes it important to manage the stress, doesn't it? And speaking about that, if you would like to know more about stress and how it impacts the body and some of the things that you can do from a psychological standpoint to minimize stress, and then also some physical and alternative therapies that you can do to manage stress, I encourage you to go to my website, www.ritberger.com. Homepage, click on put your cursor over teleclass. You'll see that there's a drop-down menu. Click on downloads. It'll take you to the page where the stress icon is, the picture. And all you do is you can do a try before you buy. Click on that picture. It'll take you right to the page. Do a try before you buy. Listen to the audio excerpt from my Your Health teleclass on stress, or you can read a page off of the printable PDF on stress. And then what you can do is you can purchase them online and then read all about stress. And then as you're reading it, then remember that the real long-term impact of stress isn't so much the adrenaline. It's more about how it changes the hormones in the body, but more importantly, it's about cortisol as well. Then the other thing that you can do, so let's see, what can we do? I started to say, what can we do? The things that you can do, what are the best ways to be able to really work with diminishing the effects of cortisol? Get some sleep. Honor your body's need for as many hours as it requires. The general rule of thumb is the human body needs 7 hours of sleep, and those 7 hours sleep can be all at one time if you're fortunate enough to do that, but your body needs 7 hours of sleep. If you sleep 5 and you get sleepy in the afternoon, an afternoon nap works very, very well. It does a lot of the same things, in fact, the same things that happens at night, but you do need to get the rest and the honor and the needs of your body. When you get tired in the afternoon, one of the things I suggest is a short cat nap or a relaxation technique, 20 minutes. You don't go into a deep sleep, and that would be much more beneficial and helpful for managing cortisol than reaching for a candy bar or something that is sweetened to give you that boost of energy. What that does is it creates a lot of highs and lows. Stay active mentally and start moving and stay moving physically. An idle mind allows it to play out so many scenarios that actually creates more stress. Exercise releases dopamine and serotonin. They are both feel-good anti-anxiety and anti-depression chemicals that is occurring with exercise. Exercise, when you find that you're getting tired in the afternoon or tired throughout the day, just go outside, take a very, very quick walk. It doesn't need to be for a long period of time. We find that those short bursts of exercise really, really help well. Watch what you eat. Stay away from simple carbohydrates. Use vitamins, daily vitamins and minerals, specifically B-complex, vitamin C, and magnesium for muscles, very, very important. Also, you can look at supplements such as ginseng, valerian root, St. John's wort, 5-HTP, and, of course, SAMI. And then if you're on any prescription medications, one of the things that I always encourage people is talk to your doctor before you specifically start taking St. John's wort, 5-HTP, and SAMI. There tends to not be any kind of interaction between prescription meds and those, but if you are on antidepressants, St. John's wort could throw off the impact of antidepressants. Also, SAMI is a mood supplement, and then 5-HTP for sleep. So you can look at that. Most importantly, learn to manage the stress in your life. And that means doing things that you can do that are important to you, not urgent to others, important to you that can help you de-stress your life. So those are some of the things. I'll close up the show a little bit more about some of the stress things that you can do in managing. But I want to jump in, and I want to be sure to get Jan from Minnesota. Hi, Jan.
Hello.
Hi. Hi, hon. How are you?
Hi, I'm good.
Good. So is your weather stressing you? No, I'm only kidding.
No, actually, it's pretty nice today. A little hot, but...
Well, that's good. That's good. My gosh. So you guys went from a very, very cold to a very, very hot. So very good. How can I help you, hon?
Well, I've got a lot of things in life that are stressful and have been for a number of years.
Where to start, huh?
Yeah, where to start.
I know. Oh, my gosh. I can feel it. Okay, so let's start. I want to start with the most obvious. You work?
Yeah, I'm temporarily laid off, but still working as a volunteer.
Okay. Well, I want to say that being laid off was a very, very good thing, because the first thing that came to mind was the job, and the standpoint that it was really stressful. It feels like in the last month or so, couple months, it's been really very emotionally charged in the environment. So really the good news is, let's check that one off the list. But what we can do is use what you take the opportunity, look at what you enjoy doing, what you're good at, before you decide what you want to do next. The volunteering feeds your heart. It has a lot of value. Your natural nature and the leadership of who you are and your wonderful take charge is, sweetie, learn to say no, because people are going to want to say, oh my gosh, Jan can handle this. Let's lob it over to her. So that's one thing. The next thing is that there's some dynamics going on in the family that is the next area to address. There's some energy tied to that. I'm going to ask some questions. Do you have stress going on in your family?
Yes, absolutely, with my son.
Okay. Are there family members that feel like they're kind of nibbling at you, kind of trying to tell you what to do, or are implying that you're not doing something? You're feeling really pressed.
Yeah, a little bit of that at home as well.
Okay. Okay. So we got the work thing kind of out of the way, because it feels to me like the work thing was just kind of being kind of that straw that broke the camel's back, per se. That's what it felt like. So having that kind of gone, even though I know that it can create other stress, it's still a good thing. So let's talk about your son. Oh, my goodness gracious. All right. Where can we go with him? He is, he's spinning. Oh my gosh. He's absolutely spinning. Okay, so if you and I were to step back, and I just need to do use a metaphor, because I'm picking up. He feels like he's almost like a gyroscope or a top. He just feels like he's spinning. He feels like physically his body is out of control. Chemically, he's out of control. Is he having addiction issues?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know for certain, but I think
so. Is there another person in his life that has a lot of influence on him?
I'm not sure right now, because he's disconnected from me.
Okay. Okay, so I have to use, I'm using you as a surrogate, and that's why I have to kind of take those deep breaths and everything, because I have to sort through where you are emotionally to see if I can connect with him. Okay, so if we're going to use the metaphor that he's spinning, and that's how he feels like he's just being influenced by another person, he feels like his addictive tendencies are resurfacing, he feels like he needs to be on medication, he feels like he's been on medication, is that true before?
Not that I'm aware of, but I think he does need it.
Yeah, he does need to be on medication. Okay, so here we have him spinning out in front of us, and let's both of us look at it and look at Jan, what you can really do. Based on the fact that he feels like he's separating himself from the people that are really important, he's separating himself from his core value, what can you as a mother do to change him spinning? Is there truly anything?
I don't think so.
There isn't. Your mind...
That's a hard thing.
It is. And as a mom, oh my gosh, that is just incomprehensible to us. It hurts us in our head because we're trying to solve the problems. But more importantly, it hurts us in our heart because we can't reach out. We don't know how to reach out. If we reach out, we're not getting anything back. But the reason that I went that direction isn't to say to you, don't do anything, but it's to recognize, really, honey, there's not much you can do. The best thing that you can do, if you can't do it physically, then let's do it energetically. I would like you to go back, and it seems like if he was, I want to go back 14 years old. He felt like he was very kind of vulnerable at that point in time. There was still a wonderful connection between you and he at that particular time. He hadn't really seemed like he was getting into this separation process. At that period of time, what did you used to do to comfort him or to be there for him or things? Did you kind words, fix his favorite foods? What did you do? Can you go back with me? He was your little boy then.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, encouraging and my being aware of what he needed to do and couldn't do and giving him the space to.
Okay. Do that now as well. Give him the space, but do reach out if that's what you need to let him know that you care for him, that you love him, that you all the things. Do it for your reasons. And that will help minimize the stress because then you will feel as a mother that you are doing something to be able to help him. Go back into that time, the other things that you did, maybe some direction. It feels like you're wanting to give him space, but honest to goodness, sweetie, it feels like I want to encourage you to reach out and, you know, just connect with him and see where he is. Maybe encourage him to get some medication. He just needs to do, he really does need the help. But the thing, and by stepping back, it's favorable, but the other part of it is that you feel like you're disconnecting, and that's the part that feels so strongly to me that is important for you to be able to get out of this anxiety is for you to do what you need to do to feel like you are helping him and being of service. Taking a laid-back step where you're intuitively picking up he's in trouble is not being beneficial to you, very honestly.
I did reach out a bit on Facebook, and then he unfriended and blocked me.
Okay, then be creative and find another way if that's important. Again, what we're talking about, honey, is we're talking about you and your needs, not him and his needs. That's where I want to start with the stress and managing the anxiety is there. Now, I've got only a couple minutes, but something came up. It feels to me, and this isn't to make you feel good. I hope it does, but it isn't to make you feel good. The issue doesn't feel like it's you. It just feels like you happen to be the one that he is cutting off. He's being influenced by someone else, but he's also cutting himself off from your family and another member in your family. So you might want to take a little bit of time and think about that. But I do encourage you to do what you need to for you and for your reasons so you can feel good about it. That will help you tremendously.
Anything else that I can take or do.
Yes, sweetie. Are you working? I've got just a minute, so I'm going to do this. We're going to wrap up the show right afterwards, everybody else. So are you working with a doctor, honey?
Yes.
Okay. Have they put you on antidepressants yet?
No.
I would encourage you to revisit that. It doesn't mean that it's weak. It just means that your plate's full right now and your brain needs a little bit of a change of pace, honey, and it needs to restore itself back into a chemical balance. And an antidepressant could, frankly, help you with that. Doesn't have to be the rest of your life, but it does need to happen right now, and it'll help give you the reprieve you're looking for. So, again, I've shared a lot of things. I'm sorry to have to cut you off, Jan, on that, sweetie, but those are some things to look at that could help you. And then if you are so inclined, try calling me next week and see if we can go from there. But that's what it feels like, sweetie. All right, everybody. Light and love to all of you. Have a wonderful week. I always appreciate you being on air with me and all of your suggestions. Have a wonderful week. I'm going to see you next week on the radio. Light and love.
You've been listening to The Carol Rideberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.rideberger.com. That's www.riteberger.com. See you soon.